Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Bill Young, and welcome to Prayer and Lunch Podcast. Today is Monday, July 25th, and I was doing search with the prayers, of course, of St. Bridget of Sweden. Her feast day was Saturday, the 23rd of July. And when I was looking at that, I found the Daily Catholic, who had all four books of the Revelations of St. Bridget herself. So I started off the first part, but then, we always like to go to the end to see what happens. So I did that. I went to book four, and the final chapter is in 102. And she had then, her revelation from our Lord Jesus, is called a soul on trial, a time of judgment. And it states here in this chapter at 102, book four of the prophecies and revelations of St. Bridget of Sweden, we are given privy to a soul on trial at his or her particular judgment. It was presented in order to give St. Bridget, and more importantly, each one of us, an idea of what the judgment will be like. In this chapter, we see the soul of a monk who stands before Christ the judge. The Blessed Virgin Mary, in all her passion, intercedes for him as his defense. For the divine judge, both the soul and the devil, who is the persecutor, cannot lie. It is not only the evil one's argument, but the soul's own testimony that condemns him or her. Presume that God would have mercy on him despite his disdain for religious life, and seeking sanctity by modeling his life after the saints. It is with a clap of thunder that he is dispatched to hell for favoring the world, the flesh, the devil. In this case, in charge of the judge and his immaculate, loving mother, the devil wins. It should be a lesson for everyone who thinks they can continue their lifestyle and will amend their ways later in life. We know not the day nor the hour. It is an excellent lesson. Repent now and amend thy ways. The Mother of God speaks to the Son, saying, my plea is great. Thou you know all things. I am presenting it for the sake of her who is presenting here. Who's present here? The Son answers, all judgment is given to me, and it is necessary to me to render a particular judgment. Nine good characteristics belong to a righteous judge. First, to listen attentively. Second, distinguish the charges. Third, the intention to render a just judgment. Fourth, to inquire into the causes of the litigation. Fifth, to inquire how long the quarrel had lasted and for the greatest damage accused with the delay of justice. Sixth, to inquire into the qualities of the witness, if they are trustworthy, if they agree in their associations. If one of the claimants have more witnesses than the other. Seven, not to either rush or time in judgment, nor fear power or injury or loss of honor on behalf of the truth. Eight, to show no interest in anyone's or bribes. The ninth, be fair in judgment of the poor man, the same as the rich, a brother or a son, same as a stranger, not acting contrary to the truth on account of any worldly benefits. According, dear mother, you say, what was your will? His mother answered, to contend with each other, and two spirits are in them, a good spirit in one and an evil spirit in the other. They are contending over your blood acquisition. One in order to kill, the other to give life. Obedience and love are found in one, hate and pride in the other. Accordingly, render your verdict. The son answered, how many witnesses are with your friend, and how many witnesses with the other? The mother answered, my friend has few witnesses, while the other has many witnesses who know the truth, yet scorn to listen. The son answers, I shall render a just verdict. The mother said, my friend makes no plea. However, I, his lady, do make a plea in order that the evil may not prevail. The son answers, I shall do as you want. As you know, however, the physical verdict must precede the spiritual one, and no one should be convicted unless the sin has been carried out. The mother, my son, thou we know everything, I am asking on the behalf of her who is presented, who's present, who is the physical verdict, and what is the spiritual verdict in this case? The son, the physical verdict is that this soul must quickly depart from his body, and his hand will be his death. The spiritual verdict is that his soul must hang on the gallows of hell, which is not made of ropes, but of hot flame. For he is unworthy sheep that has fallen away from his flock. Then one of the Anglican monks addressed the judge, Lord, this man had nothing to do with you. You called him to a life of retirement, and he forgot it. His vows of obedience had been broken. His name has been removed. His deeds are none. The judge answered, his soul is not present in the courtroom, able to respond. The devil said to him, I will make a response. You call him indeed away from the storms of the world to a life of retirement. But I called from the highest peak and the deepest hole. He obeyed me promptly. His name is glorious to me, the judge. Explain your knowledge of him. The devil said, so I shall, through unwillingly. You call them from the stormy cares of the world to the quiet haven of spiritual life, but through nothing of this, for he strove even more eagerly of a worldly concerns. The highest peak is the highest coronation and confession. Mm-hmm. A person possessed converses with you, the Almighty, and touches your majesty. I, through him, heading from the highest peak at the mountain, where he resolved to keep sinning until the end. At the moment when he thought nothing of sinning, but found your justice meaningless. The deepest hole is gluttony and greed. For like very deep hole, it cannot be filled. His greed was that insatiable. He bore the name of monk, and the name of monk implies self-restraint, illicit wants. Yet his name was erased in him, and now he is called Sal. As Sal departed from the way of obedience, so has his will. His vow of obedience had been broken, as two ends of a broken piece of thunder cannot fit together when the wood has run. Neither the man's desire for heaven nor his love of God, which are like two ends of points united in obedience, could fit together in his obedience, for only obeyed for the sake of worldly advances and his own self-will. His deeds were also like his own deeds. Through, I do not know, say, the mess or chance, or did any other things he does, still, when he does all of that according to my will, then he's doing my deeds. His deeds can be said to be mine. When he celebrated masses, he approached you with presumption, and presumption filled all more by my wickedness. His chants for the sake of human praise. When I turn my back on him, he turns his back on me. Whenever I wish, he turns his belly towards my belly. That is, he carries out his sensual desires just as I wish. Every time he does because the present life and because of his own self-will. Hence, his deeds are my deeds. Explanation. Same soul then appeared blind and trembling, and followed him until he reached the judge, whom he seemed to be seated on a great throne with a multitude standing by. O judge, give me your verdict on this soul. Now his soul is present in person. His physical verdict had already proceeded. You said that his hand was to his death. This has already been accomplished. The judge. That can be understood in two ways. Either a wicked action became an occasion of his death, or a physical hand cut short his life in his body. They answered, true indeed, his shameful ways of his life killed his soul. Impatience opened the wound in his body by which he died. The judge told him, your early acquisitions of this soul allege that he followed you, wished you in every way, and that you had tried to throw him down from the highest height, and that he turned his belly towards you. Let us hear, then, what the soul has to say. Then the judge turned to the soul and said, soul, you had a rational facility of discerning between good and evil. Why did you your priestly honor underfoot? The soul answered, I did have a rational facility, but I preferred to follow my own will by not believing that something so great could lie hidden beneath such a modest appearance. The judge said, you know that the monastic way of perfection meant humility and obedience. Why did you enter as a wolf in the likeness of a sheep? the soul said, so that I could flee the world's reproach and lend a quieter life. The judge replied a third time, I'm not brother of mine. But no, brother of mine, if you saw the example of your holy brothers and heard the words of the saints, why did you not follow them? The soul answered, all these are good things, and that I heard and saw were loathsome and ominous to me. But for I decided in my heart rather follow my own will and my own ways than the ways of the saints. The judge spoke in a fourth time. Did you not frequently fast and pray and go to confession? The soul, I did frequently fast and pray, but I did it in a manner of a man who omits some lesser things in order to please, but hide the greater ones in order not to displease. The judge, had you not read that each man must render an account even of his following, that is, even the last little thing? Then, through the wailing loudly, the soul said, indeed, Lord, I have read it. I knew it was my conscience, but I thought your mercy was so great that you would not punish someone for eternity. Accordingly, I did have desire to repent in old age, but pain and death came upon me so suddenly that I wanted to go to confession and had lost my memory, and my tongue was tied as if it was chained. Then the devil cried out, judge, this is incredible. I see that this soul is condemning herself. So let her confess her wickedness now to no avail. Yet I dare not lay a hand upon her without your sentence. The judge answered, it's over and it's done. At that, the devil and the soul disappeared. As though they were tied together, they went down with a great clap of thunder. Then the judgment said, all this took place in an instant, but for your sake, for your understanding, it appeared to take place in time so that you may see and know and fear God's judgment. So I hope you have a better understanding of the final judgment. And it was revealed to St. Bridget of Sweden from our Lord. Let's do a prayer to St. Bridget of Sweden. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. With hearts full of confidence, we turn to you, O blessed Bridget, in these times of darkness and unbelief, to invoke your powerful intercession on behalf of those who are separated from the true church of Jesus Christ. Conscious to your deep knowledge of cruel suffering of our crucified Savior, we beseech you to obtain the gift of faith for all those who are outside the one fold, so that the all scattered sheep may return to the one true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Bridget, fearless in the service of God, pray for us. St. Bridget, patient in suffering and humiliation, pray for us. St. Bridget, model in the love towards Jesus and Mary. Pray for us. Pray, Ave Gloria. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This was quite an amazing revelation to our St. Bridget of Sweden. I hope we could all learn a valuable lesson. We all thought, with God's mercy, that it's going to be easy. But yes, God has mercy, but it's not going to be easy. I was listening, and when I posted again, of a good sister who was from the same order of St. Faustina. And she gives the story how St. Faustina, God appears to her, talks to her, to become a sister from a nun. Yet it wasn't easy. She went to many places where it rejected her. Then finally one order said, well, come back in a year. So she had to wait a whole year, and then she came back, and then she accepted them. But it still wasn't easy. So life is not easy, no matter what you choose. But if you choose for the good, and you choose for our Lord Jesus Christ, and His Blessed Mother, then we could have that everlasting life with our Lord and Mother in heaven. God bless you all, and have a great day.